It's another Monday, another episode of Talk About That.
We're back, John.
I'm John. This is Johnny.
Hey, guys.
Could not be more thrilled to join you.
I scroll Instagram at this point now to find any story that doesn't start with, hey, guys. If you find me one. It's like a unicorn.
It is true.
There's nothing to say except for, hey, guys.
I actually, for what little posting I've done, I've tried not to say, hey, guys, a lot. So
even when I do stand-up, I try to challenge myself not to walk out and be like, how you guys doing?
Yeah,
you enjoying the show, whatever. Like, just get into your bit. They don't care. Especially if you're on a show, like, five comedians have already come out and said that.
Yeah.
We're still doing good, buddy. We were doing good four comedians ago. Stop pushing it.
Yeah.
Like, just walk out and be like, boom, get into it.
But this is one of those things that I think only is something that's only bugging you. Like,
maybe.
The audience is probably not like, what is it doing with this guy? Keep asking how we're doing.
But I think there are, like, there's these things that are tangible things or intangible. They matter. As far as like when you go, that was a great comedian, that was an okay comedian, I think that's one of those things that they might not understand why they thought you were more of a pro.
Yeah.
They may walk out and go, something about that guy. And what it was is you didn't do that dumb rookie thing of, what's everybody? Hey, let's hear from this side of the room. What do you guys do? If you come out and you're just a pro, they might not understand why they love you. They just love you. And that's all I care for. I'm just a boy standing in front of a crowd asking it to love me.
Well, there's nothing unhealthy about that at all.
No.
So it's funny, even as a pastor, I've tried to cut out the, like, my intros used to be probably 10 to 12 minutes sometimes. And now they're 3.
Yeah.
Like, I always know exactly. In fact, sometimes it's like, this doesn't need an intro. I was going to start talking, you know. But a lot of it was all this fluff of, hey, guys, thanks for joining us again today on a Sunday morning. It's like, we do this every Sunday. I don't have to say that. Sometimes,
we're so glad you're here.
You know, you've taken.
It'd be interesting to be like, you know what? We don't care that you're here.
We're kind of surprised you came back.
Yeah.
But it's a real.
You're going to regret this, guys.
You should have chosen more wisely. No, sometimes I'll introduce myself in my position because, like, for a visitor, like, hey, you know, I'm the teaching executive pastor, which, guys, is a pretty big deal. Let's not.
Do you ever look out and you go, there's no visitors here? I'm just going to let it rip.
Absolutely.
What do you do?
Absolutely.
Yeah?
Like, you know what? This is going to be a family talk. That's
family
what pastors
talk.
Call that.
Family talk. I got a lot of things to say to you people, and you're going to hear about it. It's like the airing of grievances at Festivus. If I can make a Seinfeld reference.
It is the airing of grievances. I wonder how many pastors, that's what Sunday is for them.
Sunday service doesn't end until one of you pins me. Do you understand me? It could happen. That'd be great if you had to, like,
bailiff. I mean, usher.
You want to go?
Bar the door.
You want to go to Cracker Barrel? But you got what? Andrew would be easy to pin. He's 100. Who's he? 130? Could pin him with one arm. He's pretty. Pretty wiry, though.
What you're telling me is you just challenged Andrew Wharton to a UFC fight.
He's going down.
Or you just challenged him to a KFC fight.
Hey-o.
Yes, Johnny's joke.
It is.
I'm really more of a KFC fighter. Do you still do that one?
Sometimes. You know, that's interesting. I wrote that joke, and then I think, like, 6 months later, what's his name? Did it on...
Colonel Sanders.
He did it on... No, a guy did it on Update. Weekend Update on SNL.
So everyone
It wasn't the same joke, but it was very similar.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, man. But sometimes you just go, well, that's cool. I think, like, what is his name?
Seth Meyers?
No. It was like
Colonel Sanders.
No. Oh. Mrs. Winters. Remember Mrs. Winters' chicken?
Oh, yeah.
What happened to them?
I think Mrs. Winters married Colonel Sanders.
Don't you hate when your favorite? I'm always afraid when I have something that I love that's like, it's on the verge of going away. You're like, I love this little whatever Chinese restaurant, but I can look around every time I'm there. I'm like, this place is going away. You kind of love it back into life. You're like, please don't go away.
Does it cause you to buy more food? So, like, you know, increase their...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It does. Like, I want to take...
Here's the worst.
Here's what happens, too. Do you ever go by a place and it's closed down and you're like, oh, no. And you feel short. You feel shortchanged.
But you haven't been there in a year.
So,
yeah.
You're like, you're the reason. It's the same thing when you go into, like, Walgreens on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
Because you're stupid. You didn't have snacks in the house.
Yeah.
So you're out there and you say something to the cashier like, I'm so sorry you guys have to work on Christmas Day. But you're the reason they have to work on Christmas Day. You're a total hypocrite.
Oh, my gosh.
And I mean you are. I'm not.
Right.
You are.
That was not emphatic.
But to that point, though, Tab. So I read a story. I don't know why. I read these dumb articles. But I get an article about Tab.
Have you ever tried a book, Johnny? You should try some.
The original Diet Cola. It was the first Diet Cola.
Tab. My first youth pastor drank Tab like it was going out of style.
Tab, I think Tim Hawkins... my buddy who I used to do comedy tours with, he said Tab is carbonated Ipecac. That's just gross. It really did have a metallic taste because of saccharin.
Yeah.
They stopped using saccharin. I think they figured out it caused cancer in laboratory animals. Maybe. I don't know. But all that said, they still made Tab until this year. But and they had like, because 0.001% of people, and they had these groups, because it was a Coca-Cola product. So they had this Tab like Facebook group that would fight, they would share like a forum like, this is where you can find Tab still. Wow. So Coca-Cola made it. And it's, they started cutting out products with COVID and everything. They're just like, you know what?
Coca-Cola made Tab.
Yeah, yeah, it was a Coca-Cola product.
So they probably acquired them at some point and then continued.
Well, they started making Diet Coke and that ran everything. And Diet Coke is like 40% market share now.
You know, I've been off of keto for, I'm going to confess, about 3 weeks.
Wow, that's...
Yeah, I've been...
You're three bills now. I've gained some weight. You had one O'Charlie's roll and just went up like one of those National Geographic blowfish.
Well, I was going on vacation. It was like, okay, we're gonna live it up. And then, so then like the week before vacation, you're like, well, what's the point of me being strict all the way up? But no one... Once you've already decided you're not going to do it, then from that moment of decision forward, it's over.
Yeah.
Like, I'm one of those, like, I did good all day and I'm really easy to... just derail at night. You think we should have a donut? Yes. Like, I'm immediately, yes, we should. I'm looking to cheat. So all that being said, I have tried to order, though, Coke Zero several times at the McDonald's drive-thru that I've gone through that I don't normally go through, where I'm eating French fries and all kinds of stuff right now. And they don't have it. They don't have Coke Zero.
Well, a lot of places have Diet Coke or Coke Zero.
But Coke Zero is so superior to Diet Coke.
I don't agree.
If you like Diet Coke, it's because you like Diet Coke. If you like Coke Zero, it's because you like Coke and you want less calories because it tastes more like Coke. Diet Coke tastes like Diet Coke. It tastes like someone took Coke, mixed it with Tab, and sold it to you at a price that you shouldn't pay. I'm not down. Diet Coke is a...
I like Diet Coke. Now, every now and again, when you get regular Coke, accidentally the waitress gives you regular Coke, and you're like, this is what I've been... It's like you feel, you go, holy moly.
I forgot.
It is.
Yeah.
It feels wrong. Is this cocaine? It is. It's cocaine. They used to put cocaine in it.
That's where the name came from, guys.
Man, that's crazy.
We are here.
Wasn't it like a cure for the common cold that was the original?
Can you say that again?
Cure for the common cold?
Cocaine?
Cocaine.
A cure for the common cold.
It had cocaine in it because it was medicinal. The guy was mixing up in his apothecary.
Do you think there was a physician's assistant involved?
There was a physician's assistant mixing up cocaine to make a cure for the common cold, Carl.
There was all of this, I think, pseudoscientific knowledge that was passing about, the medicinal properties of things.
When did they take cocaine out of it? What if it was still in there and they're like, yeah, I used to have cocaine. No, it's still there. We don't want to talk about it. People don't want to know.
Yeah, that's funny.
Who is it? Our friend Mark Oglesby. He's helping market these mad tasty seltzer waters that have CBD in them.
Yeah.
People are drinking CBD. And again, CBD is one of those things like, I don't know if it works. Nobody knows. But people that think it works for them. Is that how?
I think it
works if you believe it works.
That'll preach. What are you wanting it to work for?
I don't know.
That's what,
like,
that's
are you drinking a seltzer water to calm down at night, take the edge off?
See,
are you drinking it to like pep up in the morning? What does CBD oil do for you?
CBD, as it has been used in my house.
John.
Yeah, I know. Has been used for the pure purpose of one of us has a sleeping disorder. I'm not going to say who, but it's not me.
Would it just sleep disorder or is it sleeping disorder?
I don't know, Johnny. I haven't slept in so long.
Because I've heard sleep disorder, but you wouldn't say eat disorder. You know?
It's true.
I don't know.
But they're not all created equal.
No.
So,
and CBD, you mean the CBD oils,
correct.
The strains, like the, like you want it, because if it has THC in it, then it's just weed,
your THC,
right?
THC with your CBD,
you're
KFC.
You're SOL. Wait, that's not, you get CBD with you'll be a VIP. No, it's, that's tough. And I don't know anything about
it. You know, Amy Grant and Vince Gill grow CBD.
Do they? They grow hemp.
Yeah. Isn't it CBD or... I don't know.
They don't grow weed because it's not.
This is a good time to introduce our guest because
I guess
she's going to have more information about this than we are. We'd like to welcome to the Talk About That podcast.
It's amazing.
We have a guest today in studio, live, the illustrious Allison Holland, a return guest. Hi, Allison. How you doing?
I am so good. Thank you for having me. And first of all, I'm a little offended that you just said she would know more about this than us. Because well, that's we don't not know. The case, probably.
You don't read your... the no. My wife used to call those trashy mags, the ones that have all the celebrity news and stuff.
Yeah.
She says, I'm reading my trashy...
Well, again, I don't know if this is trashy
in touch,
stuff. I'm just saying...
In Style magazine.
Let me restate this, Allison. You're going to know more about everything than us. Like
okay,
that, my
I'll
wife,
take, I'll
yeah.
take that.
My
wife you literally knows, just said Amy Grant's growing hemp in the backyard. Allison don't know about
she's
that.
She's a pothead.
Well, no, that's because
I'm not everybody.
That's because you are a marketing expert, which means and you're a social media expert. So you are following more of the social. Someone asked me today, by the way, we were over helping set up for a wedding, mm-hmm. and someone in their 20s used what was the word that they used. They used the word, sorry, okay, so the other day we had a conversation with someone, not going to name who, and they didn't know what woke was, okay? So I had to explain to them what woke was. Like, guys, this is not new. Like, this has been around yeah. a long time, the concept of woke. Oh, they were saying, oh, yeah, remember, and I called her, and then she ghosted me, and he goes, do you know what ghosted means? I couldn't believe it. I was like, what do you think, I'm 98? Like, yes, I know what ghosted means.
It means you get in their attic and you haunt them.
That's right. Everyone knows that. So that's my point, though. I may not, people are going to assume that I'm not up to speed, then I'm not in the know, you know, with everything.
We're not here to come down on you.
That's right. So I just assume, you know, if something's going on in the world of celebrities, you're going to know
yeah.
more than I would know. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Just an interesting way to introduce that. But no, I know. I don't.
You know, nothing
I think
about
my brother
any,
was, right? My brother has 7 or 8 acres in Coryton, Tennessee, and he was looking at growing hemp because there was, he had a friend that went to church with him and was like, there's so much money in it. And then I heard like, a few months later, and I think he heard the same thing, which is why he decided not to do it. Like, it was all just sitting in piles and rotting because the government was trying to get involved in the subsidization of it. And it's just the whole thing of like...
Yeah.
So people that grow hemp, you either have the contracts or you don't. And if you don't, it's really hard to break into, evidently.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, so, but if you're Amy Grant,
right.
you probably name your price, right?
That's right.
This is... I don't know what you...
Do you know Amy Grant did
this
a duet?
This is the El Shaddai blend. I don't know what she did.
I was thinking more of her pop career, but yeah. She did a duet with Tori Kelly. They did Baby Baby, a remake of Baby Baby.
Really?
Have you heard it? Yeah, it's like all kind of... It's not... I wouldn't say technoed out, but it's remade. It's
dubstep.
Really good. She sounds just like she did, though, the first Baby Baby. Were you in...
What happened to dubstep? It's just... It went away. It had its moment.
Yeah.
Just two fax machines making out. Remember when that was music? That was like an interesting 5 years, wasn't it?
I can dig it every
Diplo, Skrillex.
Yeah, it comes in every once in a while in a song.
I can dig it.
I can dig some.
Woke. I'm very woke. I get ghosted all the time. Guys.
DJ John D's on the backup.
So Allison, today, oddly enough, on my Google Photos, a photo came across, because what it does is it says this week 1 year ago, mm-hmm. and then it says this week 2 years ago, and I just let it keep going to see, and it went back to this week, I want to say we were back in 2009 or 2008, and it was a middle school retreat at the Camp Jackson, and there was a picture of you, and I screenshot it so I can show it to you.
Oh my goodness, that would be earlier than 2009 if I was in middle school.
Well, you know what? It'll have the date on it, actually. Sorry, 2007.
Yeah.
And I found this picture, and maybe now that you're our social media person,
oh,
you can see.
Oh my goodness.
And you're welcome to post that or
guys,
whatever.
Guys, I'm literally wearing a Pink Panther graphic t-shirt.
Yes.
And yeah. I remember loving that shirt. That was my favorite. Oh, wow. I can't believe you have that.
It was just, I was like, wow, she's going to be on the podcast today. That's great. So that's how long. We see, what year did you start? What grade were you when you started in our youth group?
I actually was not in the youth group at that point. I came with probably Bethany, mm-hmm. maybe? Some, one of my friends. I came to that retreat with them. I started coming to this church in 2010. I went on the Bolivia trip, and then I came after that.
But you had gone on multiple trips with
us,
though.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I had tons
camp.
Of friends yeah. and stuff. And so I was in camp and stuff like that. But right. I officially started being in the youth probably 2010. I was 16.
Wow.
15 or 16. So
I feel like, yeah, I feel like you. So again,
I
you
still
were,
remember that retreat, though. That was a good retreat.
It was fun.
Mm-hmm.
There was a character on that retreat. I don't know if you remember that.
Mm.
So this is one I got to be careful here. So there was a, again, I really try to help people and release people into doing things in ministry.
Release people.
Release you into other, yeah. And there was a guy who was helping us lead that retreat who played a 1970s, like, hippie character to deliver the message that night. Do you remember this?
I do remember that.
What was the name of the character, John?
The name, I can't. I'm not. No, it was fine. It was a good attempt. I'm just saying, it was an interesting. His name was Wayne Earthtone Thomas. Was the name. I remember that. It was a great. I liked the character. But I'm just curious if you remember that, because that was a very unique.
That would have
part.
Stood out if I was a kid at the.
Do you know what I just remembered?
What?
Okay, so I could still. We had this challenge at the. I can't believe my brain just went here. I can't remember anything from college, but I can remember this. We had this challenge we had to do, and it was about harmony and unity. That's what the retreat was about, which probably made sense for the hippie guy. Yeah. I don't know, but harmony and unity were somehow in the message, and my friend Rachel and I had to make a handshake, and I could still do it to this day, and I remember the jingle for it and everything that we made up together.
How did it go?
It was harmony is unity, so keep the beat. What? Act as one. And I could literally do that with her right now.
Wow. And you and her had to make that one up.
Yeah.
That's really good.
That's amazing.
And you did the hand stuff.
I could still do the handshake with her right now.
Back and forth, and that's how you joined your cult. You had to learn that.
That was it.
And you,
you were in.
One of us.
Oh, my goodness. Well, that's awesome. So, yeah, out of all, like, you could remember one sermon that I probably preached in the entire time here, but you remember that. And that's fine with me. I've come to that conclusion.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I remember one thing about...
I know what this is going to be. Go.
You're going to think it's going to be about the sex, like, I do remember the covenant, because Jeffrey, when we started dating, he actually used to reference the covenant, and it would piss me off. He'd be like, we're not supposed to sit on the couch after dark. Like that.
I'd
be like, can you not?
I don't know if I ever said don't sit on the couch.
You didn't. That
dark.
Was exaggerated, but he was just doing
the
right thing.
Is this a fold-out couch? Because that complicates.
True. But no, yeah, it was great. I do remember that. But I remember something about how we were a vessel to preach the gospel. I remember that because you had a pot on stage. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I had a pot.
You were the jars of clay.
I wish I had more context to this, but you talked about how...
CBD oil.
About CBD again?
Yeah. Kids.
That's weird. That's a weird reference, but I do remember that, and I remember Harmony's Unity.
Was it on fire? Did I set something on fire?
Maybe.
Because I had a box one time with a candle in it that kids seem to really remember. I can't remember what my sermon illustration was, but...
That's the purity thing. It's what the box with the candle.
Was it? No. I still have one up here. I have that little... So the story of that, by the way, is how that came. We called it the Little Covenant, by the way. Mm-hmm. L-I-T-L.
Which everyone in youth group always remembers anything that's about purity.
Yeah.
You just don't forget it.
Yeah, like I said the word sex,
the
so
like,
they all like...
snickering.
They all listened. I had just pin drops. Even the adults, by the way, if I talk... Because occasionally when I'm preaching in a marriage series or something, I'll have a day on sex. We'll talk about it. And they will. Everybody is with you the entire time. So if you want to get people to listen to you, you can just talk about that from the sermon. That'd be a weird thing to preach every week. Although some guys... I know some guys, though, out there who they're kind of creepy and they kind of keep dropping those like things that are sexual in nature, you know, kind of like innuendos
That's
and
weird.
Stuff. Yeah, believe me, there are some guys, and eventually they usually get in trouble like for something. But it's kind of like a... It's a way to draw people's attention. It's a way to keep their attention.
It's so provocative,
I would prefer to keep people's attention other way if possible, or not have it at all.
By setting vases on fire.
Right. What I do is I set boxes on fire.
Or
whatever it was. A lot of those, what I would take our interns over to Dollar Tree, and it was like, all right, guys, we have $10, and we need to buy...
You need a sermon illustration.
Right. How are we going to do this tonight? Here's what my sermon's about. You help me come make the illustration. So that's where we got the little marriage boxes, and we could afford the candles and put... So that's how we did it that night. It became a thing.
I do love those. That was a great series in and of itself. I just loved it.
You don't have to say that, Allison.
No, I did.
No. Well, Johnny, do you hear that?
All I know is... I don't know about the purity thing because she's got two kids now. So draw your own conclusions.
I was married.
I don't think.
I tell you, the Jeffrey Allison wedding was a pretty great wedding. That was a great wedding.
It was. And just so everybody knows, I actually told Jeffrey recently, I was like, I've never said this publicly except for like with our close group of friends because I don't want you to look bad since you own a wedding filming company. But just so you guys know, I don't have a wedding video.
Oh,
like,
wow.
Yeah. Which he, that's
like
what
the,
a.
The, it, plumber's wife with a leaky sink or
exactly.
whatever.
Exactly. Yeah. So I was told him, I was like, I've never said that publicly because I don't want people to think you don't get stuff done on Tim, because he does. That's why I don't have one.
Because he's getting all the paid.
Everybody yeah. else does get one.
Exactly.
But we just rewatched our wedding ceremony maybe a month ago. I think I even texted you and Laura yeah. about it. And it was so great to go back and watch and see. I mean, it really was a special ceremony and night and everything. So.
I had trouble getting through that one.
You did.
And then Andrew came up and he had trouble getting through that one because mm-hmm. he, yeah, it was one of those, yeah. I had trouble getting through a lot of them. There's a lot of special ones, but yeah, I just remember y'all's. And it was like an ice storm or something that night, right?
It was. It had a name. Like it was like a winter storm.
Yeah.
Titan or something like that. Yeah, it was a thing.
It was crazy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Sadie was so little. Of course, you kept Sadie mm-hmm. for us. And, Sadie was so little. I remember she was little enough that I was worried. I still had to watch. I couldn't just let her run around the reception. So mm-hmm. that's how long ago that was. Y'all been married how many years?
Almost 7.
Yeah. So I remember like we had to, you're still watching like you are at the stage right now. Like you wouldn't just, you know, allow your kids to run free. But there's a moment coming where you will. As long as they're with somebody and, you know, all the exits are blocked or whatever. Well, you know.
The exits are blocked. Chain these doors shut.
Well, you know, you just hear those horror stories of, you know, kid just disappearing, from those things. You know, so you're watching. But anyway, now I'm at the age now where my kids, you know, I still pretty protective. But now I can just call her on her phone or text her, you know, so it's kind of
interesting.
That's so
nice. I feel like when you have kids, especially when they're like young and toddlers, you automatically train your eyeballs to just go different ways.
Because
I'll literally be in conversation with somebody and feel my eye just drift to make sure that Kate's somewhere in the vicinity.
The whole time. Yeah.
I know. It's nuts.
Yeah. So, Allison, you have an amazing podcast.
Well, that's kind. Thank you.
We all love your podcast. Why don't you tell us about the Kennedy Dynasty podcast?
Sure. First of all, I'm going to start by saying I am a Kennedy fan, clearly by the title, but it's not as weird as you think if you are not a Kennedy fan, because when I first started this, I was like, people are going to think I'm so freaking weird, but there is a bunch of people that are actually interested in this family. And I think the appeal of this family is that they are, to a lot of people, the closest thing to royalty that America has ever seen.
Right.
Like, it's just a dynasty, like, truly. And they're got some really, really highs and some really, really lows, and that's interesting, and we love the scandal, and we love the call to public service, and we love the everything in between. So I have been interested in studying this family's history for so long. I would consider myself a Kennedy historian, but I don't want to go back to school to actually, like, become a historian, so I guess, like, I'm an enthusiast. So, there's a lot of Instagram accounts and things out there that are focused on the Kennedys, but not quite the content that I wanted. Yeah. And there's some podcasts out there, but they're only very narrow about certain conspiracy theories or things like that. So I created a podcast that I wished existed for me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it kind of worked. And I'm surprised. It's grown pretty quickly. I've been doing it about 6 months now, and there's a little community around it, and it's lots of fun. So
yeah, there's a lot of people who've connected with you, and
there are. I'm surprised.
Yeah, it's just amazing. And I think I told you in the beginning, I was like, this is gonna be a thing, because there are people out there, and it's a very accessible topic, in my opinion. It's also one of those times in American history, I think, that people, for better or for worse, look back on either with fondness or with this hue of mystery. They feel like things were simpler. I don't really think they were, but they feel like things were simpler, you know. And so, you know, he, in particular, obviously it's not just about John F. Kennedy, but, you know, I think his assassination being a centerpiece of a lot of people's like much as 9/11 is for us. Like, you remember where you were, if you know, you remember what you were doing, and that was, you know, such a major moment, because it hadn't happened on that level, you know, since Lincoln. And so, you know, 100 years, you know, almost, or a little less than 100 years later. So tell us, I mean, so you guys talk about everything on the podcast, and it's basically, because you bring on guests. I've got to be a guest before, which is a lot of fun. And you just talk about, you know, different aspects of the Kennedy family.
Yes, and the thing is, it's, you think it would be really a narrow topic, but it's surprisingly not. And not only are the Kennedy family in and of themselves so massive that they have so many scandals. I mean, you think about William Kennedy Smith in 91. I mean, he had a whole rape trial behind him. I mean, that's so far removed from the 60s Kennedys, yet it was so prevalent and everywhere because of the family that he was in, you know? And I did a whole episode on that. You think about Chappaquiddick and how that's a whole thing. I mean, it's just, there's so many different things that happened, you know? And I actually just finished recording yesterday a podcast with my friend Ryan about the 1960 election and 1964 and how he felt like, because he's a history teacher, in how he felt like the 1964 election is in a lot of ways paralleling today. Mm-hmm. And then that led into a whole thing about LBJ. So there's just a lot of avenues that you can take talking about anybody that was connected with the family or the family in and of themselves. It's just, I find them fascinating. So it's been a pretty easy thing to study even more and produce content with.
Well, and you do a lot of studying, you told me. Like,
yeah, it's a ridiculous amount. It really is.
Since you started this, you're reading like constantly. And, which is awesome.
I can't do that. We do zero research for this show.
I'm kind of jealous of that, honestly.
We just come to... It's almost like if you ever play a trivia game, we talk about John and I play Trivial Pursuit. But you don't learn from Trivial Pursuit. You just learn what you already knew. And that's what we bring to this show. Where we're at, it's a snapshot in time of our opinions of that day.
But again, we set that up as the, premise. That was our thing. Yeah. Our idea was, hey, when we go to lunch, over the years, people who sit with us seem to really enjoy the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them asked us for several years, you guys should really record this. So for us, he wants you to feel like you're sitting with a few friends and they're talking.
I think those people just wanted us to pay for lunch. They were like,
we usually
this is
did.
So interesting. They slide the bill over.
You guys are brilliant.
Riveting. Here's my check. No, I think that's an awesome concept, what you guys have created. And it's really nice that you both have each other too, because on the opposite end, I'm by myself, and it started out by me being able to just kind of recall this knowledge that I had or whatever. But then now, I put out a Q&A or whatever, and people are like, tell me specifics of why you think the Bay of Pigs happened and then the Cuban Missile Crisis and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I am not brilliant. Yeah. I have to go study.
Didn't we just pass the anniversary of the, maybe it wasn't Cuban Missile Crisis. Wasn't there a guy in a missile silo somewhere who got a computer error message and decided to question it? He didn't fire back, but it was a mistake. And because he took the extra step. I can't remember who it was, but it was somebody in one of those missile silos, and there was a computer error, and I think it was during Cuban Missile Crisis. And then we just passed the anniversary of the date.
Wow.
And like, he basically was the guy who was like, I should call this in instead of just being like, fire Will. Like, it was the screen was saying we were being fired upon.
Oh my gosh.
And it was a mistake, but if he had just acted the way his protocol, he would have launched.
I've seen that that premise in a lot of different TV shows and movies, but I didn't know that it actually happened.
No, that actually did happen, and it was all like the new computer system or whatever, and it was just one of those things. It was a total glitch, and he sensed it and was like, this is World War III if I do this. Mm-hmm. We should probably...
Yeah.
Do you guys remember a couple years ago, maybe a little longer than a couple, but when Hawaii got that alert on their phone?
Yeah.
Saying literally like, take cover, nuclear missile headed your way or something to that extent.
Was it that or was it a tsunami? I can't remember if it was a tsunami. Was it nuclear?
No, it was like...
Yeah, it was a nuclear.
And
it was a total glitch. There was like, sorry about that.
like
what do you
were,
say?
Like, I heard a guy even like took his family out on the beach and just sat down like, waiting for the missile. Like, you just don't know. Like, awful. I mean, that's horrific. So,
wow.
Yeah.
I don't know what I would... I sometimes, actually, as a six, I think about that kind of stuff.
What would you do your last day?
Yeah.
If you knew today. That's what they used to tell us, too. They'd be like, live each day like it was your last. So I wake up every day and I make funeral arrangements, and there's a lot of sobbing. Sobbing. I'm like, why, God, why? That sort of thing. It's a fun day. It's a great way to live.
Thanks a lot, memes. I know what a meme is, too, by the way.
Hey, so, you're woke.
Very woke. Don't ghost me. I often wonder, like, for me, like with especially modern nuclear devices, you got to think about what they were dealing with in that time,
mm-hmm.
because you obviously had seen what Hiroshima and Nagasaki, you understood the force of what this explosive device was. But the modern day devices are so much even more exponentially destructive. There's some ways you're like, it'd be better just to try to not survive. I don't know if this happens, if I want to survive it, you know, it'd be better. I'd be better off. So, I mean, anyway, we're in really dark places.
Dark.
This is dark. So, yeah, thanks for that.
The Kennedys are a little dark, though. Like, like bringing me on, you had to kind of be ready for that a little bit. Like, there's some that's not, but a lot of it's like, oh my gosh. Like, I'll literally sometimes be talking in the podcast. And, like, I just recorded one recently. It actually is already out now, about the Kennedy curse, which is such a prevalent thing with people. But then, so I did a timeline of events that make people think that the Kennedy curse is real. And when I finished it, I walked downstairs to Jeffrey and I was like, God, I don't know that I should put that out. I don't know. It's just so dark. So I have like a lot of like where I'll be like, wah, wah, during it, like not know what to say. But
okay, yeah, I got the story.
Oh, nice.
26 September 1983. So this wasn't, I'm going to make sure this is the one that I'm thinking of. The nuclear early warning system of the Soviet Union reported the launch of 5 intercontinental ballistic missiles from bases in the United States. These missile attack warnings were felt to be false alarms by Stanislav Petrov, an officer of the Soviet Air Defense Forces. The decision... Are you opening a tab right now? You're trying to be all subtle. That's the loudest noise in the world, opening
a can. Sorry, I was trying to wait for you to cough or something, but you wouldn't do it. So.
I'm a pro. Okay. So this guy, officer of the Soviet Air Defense Forces, the decision is seen as having prevented a retaliatory nuclear attack against the United States and its NATO allies, which would have resulted in immediate and irrevocable escalation to a full-scale nuclear war. Say that 5 times fast.
Well...
Anyway, an investigation of the satellite warning system later determined that the system had malfunctioned. So this guy just was like, maybe we should, before I... But he had the authority to turn the key and just fire
That's
back.
That's horrific.
Wow.
This was 83. So it was a Soviet officer that did it.
So we had a few technical difficulties before we started today, but imagine.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
It's like, not the same. Yeah.
It's not quite the same. No, it's interesting. You know, and about the Kennedy curse, you know... I often, because I've thought about the Kennedy curse before, and I'm one of those guys that thinks if we really were to take a microscope to almost anybody's family, we would find lots of tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
That you would find car wrecks and cancer and all kinds of things. Somebody in almost every family, you know, dies young. In fact, when I really study history, it's not just dark. It actually brings me encouragement. Like, so many children didn't make it past infancy for so long. And it wasn't uncommon even for them to rename the next child after to honor, which would be for us. I think we'd feel in modern culture so, I guess, devastated. And they did too. I don't think they felt any less devastated. They just found ways that it was more expected. Never, I think, easier, but more expected that mortality was real. You know, and the deal is, it is equally as real. There's still 100% mortality rate. And we are very surprised by it. And certainly if someone is young. But I just wonder, how do you feel about that? Like, if you just look at anybody's family, if you really went to the extended family part of it, how much would it look like we all had a curse?
Well, I'm glad you asked. And also, you just let me know you didn't listen to my podcast.
I haven't heard that episode.
Because I talked about
that. Is that the same thing you said? Yeah.
But,
sorry, I haven't been to that one yet.
No, you're fine. No, I actually talk about that at the end, how I don't necessarily believe in a curse or even that concept. But you have to think about how massive this family is, too.
Right.
And honestly, very reckless. Like, they engaged in a lot of behavior that was very reckless. I mean, which one was it? Not David. There was one of them, Michael? Maybe another Michael? I don't know. One of RFK's kids passed away in a ski accident in like 91-ish. And it's because they were throwing football and playing football going down the ski slopes and he hit a tree.
Wow.
And I mean, JFK Jr., his plane crash was probably because the flight conditions weren't the best and he wasn't trained in that certain kind of flying for the night and the fog and all those kind of things. So some of it was probably somewhat preventable, even though a lot of people can get away with reckless behavior.
When wealthy people sometimes feel like they're invincible.
Invincible, yeah, absolutely. And I mean, if you just take JFK Jr. in and of himself, he lived his whole life getting death threats. And
yeah.
I mean, his father was assassinated. His uncle was assassinated. His just surrounded by tragedy. So he almost made the conscious decision in his life to not live his life in fear and do whatever he wanted, you know?
Yeah.
And so, I don't know. I think that I even say in my podcast, like, kind of like what you just said, none of us are immune to having horrible tragedy in our own lives. Or, I mean, everybody's family has issues or encounters things that are tragic and horrible and sad, and that's just life, you know? They just have a really big family and a very public family that had to live things in a very public light. So, yeah.
I think that's kind of the function now of reality TV. Reality TV, when it first came out, was like, every show was like Survivor. It was almost like a game show vibe. Or it was like inspirational, The Biggest Loser. Look, this person lost all this weight. And now reality TV just serves the function of letting society see so many weirdos that you feel normal by comparison. Mm-hmm. Like, you're like, look at this guy. He eats sheetrock. He's eating drywall. We're not so bad. You know, it's like when you watch, My Strange Addiction? Yes. This lady's just pulling hairs off her head and eating them, you know, and she has to go get like a hairball removed from her stomach. You're like, you know what? I think I'm all right.
Not chug
CBD and I just feel good. Which she needs to drink a tab. It would dissolve all that.
I probably would. Yeah. The reality television for me is like, we just finished the season of America's Got Talent last night. Mm-hmm. So do you guys watch it?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Sometimes.
So Sadie got us into watching it, and we were way behind, and so we caught up and saw the winner last night. And I was really glad, you know, who won. It was a spoken word guy who's a believer who had some amazing poetry that was very honest and real things. And so, but you go, a lot, though, of what I see in reality television is not that. Mm-hmm. It literally is like a glimpse into more drama that I can be entertained by. But I mean like stupid drama. Like, just like you said, the extremes. Everything is about the extreme. Whether it's, and then you find out again, whether it's Real Housewives or whatever. But I haven't watched Real Housewives, by the way. But,
well, I don't understand. Why did you have to say that? Like, people that watch Real Housewives are trash?
I've seen them all, so. Hand raised. Must be trash.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it's.
My wife is so into those shows, every possible iteration of it. And it's so fascinating because I always tell her she's the least confrontational person. And yet, she's into this show where they just scream at each other all day. So it's like it's an outlet for that part of her personality.
It's like vicarious living of other people's extreme drama. Like, that's what it's like.
Because she's like those judge shows, too, where they're like, Your Honor, Your Honor. They scream at each other, you know, Judge Joe Brown, People's Court, whatever, all of those. What's the one? Judge Judy. Mm-hmm. They're just screaming, and she's screaming back at them, and I'm like, why do you like this? And I never could figure it out. But it's some kind of vicarious, you know, release valve for that.
But how do you feel, though, about Real Housewives, Allison, when you know that it's not real?
Oh, it's real.
Like, that's the thing. When you know that they
you
have...
You better believe Teresa Giudice overturned that
she
table.
She flipped over a table. Jeez, she was serious. I will say this, like, even back going back to the real world, they would create scenarios. They'd be like, all right, y'all are going to live in this house, or y'all are going to... And then they would go, hey, why don't one of you guys make spaghetti tonight? Because they knew... Yeah. Somebody's gonna mess up the spaghetti. Somebody's gonna whatever, and it's gonna be a fight, or somebody's gonna burn the dinner, or somebody's not gonna help put the dishes away. They put you in situations where they know there's gonna be. And I think they do that. They'd be like, "Hey, there's a charity gala coming up.
Yeah.
And let's not invite so and so, and then let's watch the fireworks."
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's being staged, and then half the time they're not really mad at each other. They just know it gets ratings, right? Am I wrong about that?
Well, they have the follow-up shows, and then you can tell if they're still mad.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I think things definitely make them mad, but no, I mean, they're definitely put in situations, or I've even heard before that they, like, refilm scenes and stuff, but if you think about it, every show you watch is staged or scripted, so...
It is weird, though, that it's called reality. Reality TV, yeah.
It's fine. Just let it be.
Why do you defend it so much?
That's because what I love it. Bravo is, like, always on my television.
Oh, my
gosh.
So
good. Jeffrey loves it, too.
I just can't. That's the thing. It's like CBD. You can't, once you start, you can't stop.
You don't think CBD is real either?
I don't.
Darn.
I know, it hasn't always
helped. You gotta get on board, bro.
It hasn't always helped sleep.
I've never felt mellower.
You know, it's interesting. So in that time frame in the 50s and 60s of American history. So this is off subject a little bit, but I was at a restaurant in Franklin and I went into the bathroom. In this particular bathroom, they only play Elvis.
Okay.
And I was listening, but not like I was listening to a song. It wasn't good Elvis. It was like Jumpsuit in Vegas Elvis. Some of those songs are awful.
Yeah.
They're just awful. And he's not singing well. And I thought to myself,
it's the drug years.
No one's made the definitive biographical film about Elvis. Like, no one's made it. And I wonder what the reason is, because I think that he falls into that same category of time that people mm-hmm. are still fascinated
yeah.
by his life. Like, he was almost untouchable in terms of the way people looked at him.
That is interesting. And I wonder if they couldn't get permission from the estate to even use the music if somebody wanted to do something, because they'd be afraid to be portrayed.
Well, that's the thing. It would have to be betrayed. If you really took it all the way through, yeah. take him into the drugs, take him into... I mean, it would be a pretty, you know, mature...
He got really heavy for a while. There's...
Yeah. It'd have to be like the unauthorized biography yeah. or whatever.
But just imagine, though, what that could be for that time. Like, that sure. it needs to be a book written that leads to
you
want to
write this book?
Guys, I've called you here today to tell you. I have the rights.
You're hired.
This may be a little deep for this, but like this certain conversation, but I was actually talking yesterday to my friend on mine about how Elvis, we actually brought him up, and JFK, these people that died earlier than you really expected right. them to, mm-hmm. almost become a martyr to people, especially when yeah. their family or certain people are in charge of making sure that their legacy lives on. Like, for instance, Jackie coined and completely manipulated and created Camelot to be this thing that made the Kennedys seem like this just incredible, like filled yeah, the White
like
House
a perfect
with
snow
so much
globe
exactly
preserved
and like
in time.
I mean, literally said there will never be a Camelot again. This is yeah, yeah. it. But if you think about it, JFK's presidency was actually very short, was very tumultuous. A lot of things happened that were controversial or could be deemed as failures. There were some things that he jump-started that were incredible at the same time. But without Jackie creating Camelot, I don't know that we would still be talking about JFK today. I don't know that he would have been necessarily the one of the presidents that people think of immediately when they think American presidency.
Well, yeah, it's when you die young. It's James Dean. It's Jim Morrison. It's there's this idea of unreached potential, and we kind of extrapolate it out for you. We mm-hmm. go, yeah, but if he had lived, what would have happened?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
You think of NASA. You think of all the things and. Yeah, it's hard not to do that.
And Elvis is like that. I mean, yeah, we take him
sure.
and we only think about the glory and the glory years of it. But he actually really had a very rough life towards the end as well. We don't talk about that. Right. You know what I mean?
Right.
No, yeah, he's very protected.
Mm-hmm. Well, Alexander Hamilton, so I'm reading that book when I'm on vacation. I'm writing, so I'm not reading it all the time. But it's my reality television. Like, I love it so much. And so for him, if you really realize that, it was his wife who lived another 50 years after he died in the duel with Aaron Burr, who, and even though there was, he was the first public political sex scandal in American history happened in his life. And so she stayed with him mm-hmm. and basically made sure that his legacy had a place, because he probably would have fallen off the map if someone hadn't carried that on. Mm-hmm. And he was the most famous founding father, most influential founding father, who never was president. I mean, for sure. And may have been at some point. Though he was an immigrant, so I'm not sure constitutionally. I always wonder what they say that.
Would they have amended it to give him a shot?
I don't know. I often wonder about that. But it's interesting. And it's funny, I was talking with a pastor friend this week, and we were talking the same thing about, so there's a guy in the Bible that people don't often think about, and we just brought him up. His name was Apollos. And we were talking about how I've made the point that Priscilla and Aquila, this husband and wife, you know, I guess they're in ministry. They hear Apollos, who's this amazing preacher, and he's not yet heard the full gospel. He's only heard John's gospel. He's only heard like a gospel of repentance. He hasn't really figured out that Jesus has died on the cross. And so they pull him aside, and apparently it was very common. It should have been just what it's right. And they corrected him. They were like, hey, let me tell you the whole thing. He goes on to be this amazing leader. And Paul writes about it, that the followers of Paul and the followers of Apollos, not Paul and Apollos, but their followers, got into like these competitive comparison games between the two of, I'm a follower of Paul and I'm a follower of Apollos. Like, he's better, you know. And Paul's point was, hey, neither one of us saved you. Neither one of us is Jesus, you know. But the pastor made this point. He goes, you know, the deal is, why is it that there's only one reason that Apollos, who apparently in his time, plenty of people are rising up saying he's just as influential as Paul, but the majority of the church couldn't tell the story Priscilla and Aquila that I just told. You know what I'm saying? Like, they can't really recall where he falls in the scripture. Mm-hmm. And there's only one reason, and that's that he didn't write anything that we have any record of. And so what happened, and Paul, and we really started like extrapolating that whole idea out. I was like, Paul probably was just writing letters to the churches that he had started and visited the people he loved because he couldn't be there.
Yeah.
Because he's in prison for a lot of them. And so when he's writing them at first, he probably doesn't know that he's writing scripture.
Yeah, there used to be a comedian that would say, they'd be like, do you think these people, this wasn't a Christian comedian, I think it might have been Louis C.K., he'd be like, do you think anybody ever said anything and knew that it was going to be in the Bible? They'd be like, that is totally going to be in the Bible. That's good.
That's great. But, you know, you just go, and no, I do believe that, and Peter references Paul in his letter at the end, and that's what's weird and amazing is that he says, hey, they're already referencing those letters as scripture at that moment in time. So Paul in his own lifetime, I guess, came to the conclusion, oh my gosh, these letters I'm writing are, he would have known that they had that in his own lifetime. But in the beginning, I doubt, you know, that he did. And Apollos could have said some of the most amazing things as well. He just didn't write anything.
I've read writings about the book of Hebrews that Apollos is one of the possible authors of Hebrews.
That's one of the possibilities. Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't have a strong case for it, but.
Was Apollos Greek? That's the question. Sounds like a Greek name to me. And the book of Hebrews is extremely, obviously.
Well, they just said it looks so different than any of the Pauline writings, and that's why they were determining it wasn't him, but they thought it might have been Luke, and Apollos is one of the other.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll never know, John.
We'll never know. Well, we will know, Johnny. Just got to wait.
Not on this side of heaven.
Speak for yourself, Johnny.
But no, it's interesting because, again, you just go somebody, whether it's Jackie or whether it's Eliza Hamilton or whether it's Luke writing for Paul, like, you know, somebody is carrying on something in order for that message to reach the next generation. So what if these podcasts are going to be that for us? Man, you know what I'm saying? Like, no one's going to know us in our time. They're going to go back and listen to all 134 episodes up to now and go, wow, that was a lot of wasted time.
I just
want
to carry the torch so that maybe we can get some groundswell going and they can start making tab again. Like, just shut the machines down.
Johnny, if you put tab in the groundswell, it'll mess up the environment. Right. Like, you don't want to get in.
What if they figured out tab cured COVID? Wouldn't that be something? They'd be like, we figured it out. It's tab.
Back.
And then people were like, still not worth it. I'd rather have COVID. The metallic taste, I can't do it.
Oh, my goodness.
Honestly, me and Jeffrey actually call this an illness at this point, because the whole time you were talking about Hamilton, I was literally singing everything that went along with everything. So, like, when you said the biggest sex scandal, I was like, the Reynolds pamphlet, boom, boom, boom. And then, like, you're talking about Eliza, and I'm like, tell her story. Sorry, listeners, for having to hear that.
No, that was great.
But I can't. And so Jeffrey and I now literally communicate in Hamilton lyrics to a fault. Like, and you said immigrants. Yeah. I was like, we get the job done. Because that's in the musical. Yep. It's a problem.
It's so good. The line that when we listened to it on the way to the beach, because I hadn't started the book yet till we got to the beach. And so we listened to it in the car, and because we had a long drive. And the line that I sang this line the rest of the week as I was reading it. And that's the world will never be the same. That line is so good melodically. Like, I love everything about it. And the thing about it is everyone knows this, I'm sure, but just the way he found a way in the opening song to basically foreshadow the great melodies and of almost every other song in the whole production. So he puts it all into one, because again, it has a hip hop feel to it, so he can kind of like keep similar melodies and beats going. Guys, it does. It is probably, I don't know if it's an illness, but it is certainly.
Well, it is in our house, because it's so often that we're like, this is a problem at this point.
Oh, gosh.
But, you know, I told Jeffrey probably whenever we saw the musical, so a few months ago, I was like, I'm going to learn every single word to My Shot. Every word. I was like, I'm going to do it. Because Lin-Manuel Miranda said in an interview, if they get My Shot, they're good to go. So I told Jeffrey, I'm going to learn every word. And I have practiced and I have learned it. I know every word to the song.
Nice. Yeah,
so,
and I do sing that one a lot too.
It's a good one. Oh, do you know all the words too? You didn't have to practice?
Yes, I got it. I did. I got it the first time.
Wow, look at that.
I've been taking a lot of CBD.
Not to brag.
I even do like the human video, like character change for like Lafayette and all the rest of them.
Do you spin out like old human video character
totally,
change?
100%.
Okay, you got to.
And I will never sing that in public, probably, but I know it.
What's
that's
the point of knowing it if you're not going to sing it in public?
Well, because I'll lose friends if I do that.
Let me ask you this. Do you think that we could start a podcast just about Hamilton, both the historical figure and the production? Do you how long could a podcast?
I think there's probably, already, probably done.
Probably 20 of them.
Correct, but do you think that we could do it? Because here's the thing: would it handle both the historical and the production? That's the question. Like not just okay, but what if it combined both? Where because there's a lot of differences, obviously, between the actual biography and and the play. So the musical. What do you think?
If it was Johnny hasn't even seen it.
I've not seen it, so
which is a shame.
My wife. She's on the verge of, like, we're going to have marital strife if I don't watch it.
Why don't you just watch it? What are you waiting on?
It almost feels like a betrayal to her if I keep holding off. But it also is kind of like, the anticipation is like, well, this is kind of, you know.
Well, you're not really into Broadway.
I do like Broadway, though. I just, it's not the same as going to a play, though, watching it on a movie. I mean, it's not the
same. Have you seen, let me ask you this, have you seen Wicked, like, an actual live production?
I've seen it three times.
Okay. And you like Wicked?
Loved it.
Okay, so well, you passed the first test.
Yeah.
At least. Have you seen, what's your...
I've loved every play that I've seen on Broadway, actually. Actually, you know what I was disappointed with? My wife will kill me for this.
Oh, here we go.
I did not like Phantom of the Opera very much. I thought it was really
overrated.
Did
you see it, when it came to town?
No, I saw it on Broadway, but it's at a really small theater house now. You know, it's like an off cat. It's like the... Whatever, you know, it's been out for millions of years, so it's not the same original. But it was on Broadway that we saw. We were in New York City. But I was just like, it was so built up to me that I was just like, eh.
They had changed it a little bit when it came to Nashville recently, and it
wasn't my favorite
the same.
Story, though. And I love the story of Wicked because it was like, it's such a, you know the story, and it kind of was that whole, like, this is the prequel, basically. Mm-hmm. It was kind of cool.
Have you ever seen Fiddler?
Yes, but but it was a college, David Altizer was in it.
Oh,
and
okay.
I went to his college version.
Jeffrey was in it in high school. Yeah. I've never seen it, though.
That'd be a very ambitious thing for a college or high school. To be honest with you. I mean,
what's the college out there in Gallatin?
Ball State.
Ball State. It was a Ball State.
Yeah. Yeah. The only production I saw that I really did not care for, honestly, was South Pacific. We went and watched South Pacific, which is an older play. And the lead, because of when it was written, the lead character was like this really low baritone.
Yeah,
it was a very like that the whole, and I just I think the modern mind struggles because you know our lead, you just have a pop. I don't listen to only pop or whatever, but I can even listen to Sinatra, like crooner type stuff. But this that it wasn't
very operatic.
It wasn't operatic, and like I think I would have preferred operatic. I would have preferred you just being an opera, but it was just very like singing in English. This lines, it grated on me. But again, that's probably just where the modern bias hits the, you know.
We saw Nine to Five. That was great. We saw that at TPAC. You know, the fascinating thing about that is you forget how brilliant Dolly is. There's a that's a movie she did in the 80s. It was an ensemble cast. And then they wanted to adapt it. She adapted it. All the songs she wrote.
That's crazy.
She won Tonys. I mean, you talk about somebody that's brilliant. Mm-hmm. You have no idea. Like, she just...
Dolly for President.
She's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. She wrote... Somebody told me she wrote Jolene and I Will Always Love You in the same day.
God.
Isn't that nuts?
Jeez. Dolly. Although, that would make me mad, though, if I... Because then I would expect to do that every day. That's why my brain works. It's like, what happened to that one day? Why can't I ever do that again? Wouldn't you... I'll be the only person who'd find a way to be disappointed in doing that, probably. Like, dang it, I can't ever do it again. Do y'all think like that? Like when something good goes, you have to reproduce it and and replicate that same. Yeah,
I'm not a creative, so I don't really.
You know, you have a very popular podcast that you've created.
Yeah, I don't know.
But you don't think you're creative?
I used to not think that I was a creative at all. I thought I was very like analytical. Like, I mean, obviously, I have a background in marketing, not even necessarily the creative side, like the business numbers, like traction, all that kind of stuff, kind of side. And Jeffrey's such a creative, like completely other end of the spectrum. So, but yeah, I don't know if I am or not. Like, I think I like what I like, but I wouldn't consider myself.
Well, that's sometimes the easiest way to create something is you're just like you're really interested in something, and then you look up later and you've made content based on that thing, and it's not. It didn't have a whole angle of like, I wonder how we can monetize this. Like you weren't thinking necessarily that way.
See, but my problem is because I do have a business school background. I'm like, wow, I love the Kennedys. Let's make a podcast. Now, how can I monetize
this? There you go. You are.
So, from the get go. Yeah.
That's what happened to the Kennedys. And I'm sure
at this point, but Joseph Pete, that's how it went downhill.
Sure, nothing bad will come of it. I do remember on Weekend Update during the William Kennedy Smith thing, because it was like, was it 91, right?
91, yeah.
So Dennis Miller would have been doing Weekend Update on Saturday Night Live, and I remember his joke was that William Kennedy Smith sounds like the name one of the Kennedys gives at the hotel. Like, he's like, what's the name, sir? William Kennedy. Smith.
That's so true. Oh, that's great. That's great. So tell us where we can find your podcast.
On Apple Podcasts or Spotify, or you can visit my website, Kennedy Dynasty, KennedyDynasty.com, and you can find it there pretty easily, too. Nice. And I also am on Instagram as Kennedy Dynasty, yeah. And it's a fun little account.
You should absolutely follow her on Instagram. It's amazing. Yeah, I'm telling you guys, you're going to enjoy this podcast, and you should go and take a listen to it. It's we're excited about it. I mean, it really is. I want to see how far you can go, because you've now proven, okay, there's more than just the surface conversation about conspiracies and all those things. Like, mm-hmm. you, but I do think you need to look into possibly a history degree.
Really?
Yeah, I think you should. I think you
maybe an honorary one. Oh, not to do anything.
We actually have prepared one for you.
We have an inkjet printer, and so you're going to love it. I'm going to roll it up tight into a little.
No, put a ribbon on it. I'm so interested in American history as a whole. Not necessarily like international history, but like American history. I'm very fascinated in. Not only the Kennedys,
there's that ugly American exceptionalism we've been railing against. I don't care what's going on in the world. What about the old
that
U.S. of A?
Terrible. Oh no.
Did you know this whole COVID thing is going away after November the 3rd as Europe shuts back down in Australia?
Exactly.
That is not what I meant, everybody. But
guys, I think I want everything we just said nice about Allison, I want you to throw it out. So,
I'm probably only really interested in American history because it only goes back like a few hundred years. I don't have too much to have to learn.
That's true.
No, it is fascinating. I mean, because it's the longest standing democracy in world history. Even though we're young, it is the oldest of that. So there you go.
So we're just about done.
This is about the moment that the Roman Empire went over to dictators. So, but no, listen, I'm sure it'll be fine for us as well. So, but no, I mean, I think you certainly obviously show that propensity for the knowledge of American history. So I've been looking at degree programs a little bit
you
lately.
Have.
Yeah, about going back to school. So,
John,
I don't know if I'm going to do it, but I'm looking
not saying
at
it. Go do it.
I actually found because my master's is in curriculum and instruction, which is great and everything, but I don't really teach anymore, you know, so it helps with writing. But there's I found from a very reputable university, I found a 2-year fully online, because it would be all the way on the Western side, master's in history that I'm looking at. But I don't know. Then you go spending that kind of money. That's not going to make me anything, guys. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, right. It might just help me write better, you know, and keep writing more. So, but it's not like someone's, and with a master's in history, it's not like I can't just go, I could probably go teach at Ball State maybe with that, but I can't teach like at university level without a doctorate.
Yeah, I don't know what that pays. They probably would have to also put you over the Fiddler on the Roof production.
Yeah. Totally.
To help supplement your salary. Like, look, we can give you this, but if you'll do Fiddler on the Roof as well.
Go to the greenhouse and grow the hemp. Right.
That's our students, yeah. How about you and I both go for our master's in history at the same time and see who gets better grades?
Okay.
What? That's a podcast.
I was a totally C's get degrees kind of college student.
That's a podcast right there.
Hey, whoever gets a better grade pays for both degrees. That's the deal.
Boom.
Wow, I cannot take that deal.
That is a lot.
Yeah, that's the hard part. Even if I went and taught at Vol State, you know how long it would take to pay back what that master's in history costs on a Vol State salary? Guys, that would be a while. So I would be in ancient history by the time that happened. Hey-o. All right, Johnny? No, <you're
not. laughs> Yeah, and you ghosted me. Wait.
Like, guys, do people think I'm old? Am I the old guy now?
John.
Why would someone ask me if I know what ghosted means?
I actually don't even know how old you are.
You're in your 40s. You're in your 40s now, John?
You don't know how old I am?
You're in your 40s, so imagine what you thought a 40-year-old person was like when you were in your 20s. You probably imagined like a relic.
Maybe.
In your 20s? I'm in my 20s, and John is not a relic.
Yeah.
I don't think 40s are old.
Yeah. I don't think that people in their 20s today think, not everyone. I think, well, here's the deal. It helps that you have kids.
But everybody likes to think they're one of the...
True.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. That's true.
When you have kids, immediately you're like, oh, wow, I see how this happens now. Right.
Yeah,
you look up and you realize how fast your kids grow and you go, this is what everybody meant by life will pass you by. You don't really feel that to that level, I think. So, Johnny, you must feel like eternally youthful then because of that. You're just like, man.
Yeah. It's pretty good over here.
You get such good sleep. What's
I'm not
that like?
Lie.
You do have a whole level of freedom, whether you realize it or not.
Yeah.
That, now, listen, we're not saying that.
But I also have a sterile existence that ends when I die. Is that what you want to end your?
End your life with? I don't think that at all.
It's a shame that nobody will take care of you when you're in that hospital bed, but. You're living high on the hog now,
sir. Oh, Johnny. You know I'm going to take care of you.
Really?
So I'll be fine.
That's so nice.
Yeah, it'll be fine. We'll both be. You're older than me.
Unfortunately, so yeah. Sadie's going to end up having to take care of both of you.
Sadie's going to take care of all of us.
Yeah. I came to her volleyball game that time.
That's right. She'll never forget. She has a photographic
memory. I was there for the comeback.
It was great. Well, Allison, so we've told where to go. Listen, guys, go listen to the Kennedy Dynasty podcast. It's awesome. And subscribe to it. Mm-hmm. And send her your topics and questions and make her go read more. So
yes,
she's excited.
That'd be awesome. Yeah. I would love that. And also, John was on it, like we said. So
yeah,
go back and listen to his episode.
Cross-pollination.
We're not coming back on pretty soon, we said?
Yes, I want you to for sure for around election time and stuff. So that'd be
great. Yeah, yeah. I wish we could have gotten today to the 1968 Kerner Commission. That's something I've been really reading up on right now. Have you heard of the Kerner Commission?
No. So you can come on and teach me about that. How about that?
It's fascinating. Fascinating. I actually have the whole book at home. So you can buy those books on Amazon and stuff. Yeah. Who knew? So
just John. That's all.
That's right. Hey, listener, we hope that you don't ghost us. Because we are woke here, and I don't know how woke we are. But, hey, thanks for listening today. It means a lot. You can check out our website at...
TalkAboutThatPodcast.com.
What did you say the other week?
I don't know.
TalkAboutThat.org. Yeah, like,
.edu.
.gov.
I thought you were going to do like another callback. Like, go to our Patreon and put it on our tab when you crack open another can.
No. You've been waiting on that for the whole time.
That's fine.
That's good. That's good. You did well. When I went and set you up, you said I was waiting for you to set up. That's brilliant. That's pretty good. So, breaking it down. So, you can check out our Patreon, though. There are levels of support there. And all of our patrons, it means a lot to us that you support us every month. So you have kept Talk About That, the podcast, as we call it.
On life support?
On.
I don't know what you want to.
Someone the other day did tell me that they think the podcast has been important through all of this time of COVID. Because I was like, I wonder how long people want us to do this. They were like, well, you cannot stop while people are still in the middle of the COVID crisis because it means something to them. So that person was Allison.
Y'all's podcast is my favorite one.
A lot of pressure.
I refresh every Monday to listen to this podcast.
Oh,
I love it.
So nice.
Oh, thanks.
It's my favorite.
We hope you feel refreshed.
You know it's coming. When we get to these cheesy segues at the end, it's always one of our favorite parts. So, hey, do send us your questions or comments, anything you want us to talk about. It can be pretty random. It can be theological. It can be comedy related. It can be anything that you want. Just to ask questions and tell us things you want to hear us just chat about. Other guests you'd like to have us bring onto the show. Maybe make suggestions of somebody you think might be a good guest on the show, and we'll try to take that into account. They can't all be as good as Allison, but maybe there's somebody out there who'd be worthy enough to come and sit with us and talk through different topics. But guys, it means the world that you listen every week, so follow Johnny on his socials. He's still rebuilding the shattered brokenness of his Instagram account that was hacked and taken away from him. So help him rebuild his life, guys. It's all on social media.
It's all I have. I don't have kids, so do something.
It should be clear. I don't think people have to get married or have kids.
I'm glad you clarified that because I don't think that either.
I don't think that at all. I'm just saying if you do have kids.
I feel like my Instagram photos are my kids. If you just go on and like them, it's good for me.
I'm just saying life seems to speed up. Maybe it does for those who don't. I don't know. It just seems like it speeds up when you have kids. That was my whole point of that. So I can only speak for myself.
I don't know.
So, yeah.
No, you're right.
Your life is terrific.
Your perception is correct.
Well, hey, guys, thanks for listening. We'll see you next week on
Talk About That.
Is life feeling chaotic? I get it. I'm Rachel Wojo, host of the Untangling Life podcast. Don't miss the passionate encouragement and faith-based resources you need to help you clear your head and calm your heart. As Shell says, it feels like Rachel always knows what I need to hear. She keeps it real and is so humble. Her podcast is just the cherry on top. Enjoy Untangling Life with Rachel Wojo on lifeaudio.com or your favorite podcast app now.